Thanks for listening to this podcast of Trending with Timory. If you haven't already subscribed, please catch us wherever you love to listen to your podcast, from the Relevant Radio app to Apple, YouTube, you name it, we are there. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to go and give us a 5-star review to help other people discover the podcast. Anything you share in terms of episodes, whether it's texting it to a friend, posting on social media, helps to build up the kingdom for God, to help confront the challenging issues we face as a culture, but with joy, with hope, and with an eternal perspective where our faith collides with everyday life, bringing eternal principles to help us live our life joyfully.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to our weekly Gentleman's Hour today on Trending. Any question goes, questions you otherwise feel uncomfortable asking your mom, your sister, you'd like a faith-filled response to. I'm here. You're listening to Trending with Timory. The number is 1-888-914-9149. You can also ask your question now on Instagram, anonymous or not, whatever you prefer. Follow me at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. Later, I'm going to discuss the Supreme Court confirmation hearing for Ketanji Brown Jackson. I'm praying and hoping that she will not be our next Supreme Court justice. Her judicial incompetence, as well as being chosen due to identity politics, is absolutely inadequate for the highest court in the United States, and I find it offensive to women and children, especially given her track record and the fact that this is truly, unfortunately, both sides have shown it's about identity politics. So we'll discuss that a little later on the show. You're listening to Trending with Timory. I want to hear your thoughts, gentlemen. It's Gentleman's Hour, and the story broke coming out of Florida from this weekend that a woman was assaulted in Walmart from behind. There was an attempted rape during the day, the middle of the day in Walmart. And I'll share a little bit about the story in a bit, but the big question I have for you, especially from a man's perspective, what can we do as women to be more aware and better protect ourselves? You know, you so often hear, hey, you know, carry pepper spray, make sure you're engaging in some form of self-defense, among other practical safety tips, which I'll talk about today on Trending. But we don't think the same way you do. What tips do you have for us to stay safe? Help a sister out. The number is 1-888-914-9149, or you can share now on Instagram. I'd like to hear from you. Oh, this weekend I was walking around just the town center, you know, getting some lunch, hanging out with my sisters, my mom, and the babies. And as we're walking around, lo and behold, as we're getting into our cars, we'd had this guy following us all throughout this town center as we're after lunch and as we're going in and out of stores. And, you know, we had this moment of quickly getting into our cars, and here we have a couple of babies with us. And I just thought how ridiculous it is that, one, this even happened, you know, in general. You know, you've got a couple of kids, but two, you know, you kind of look at what's happening with some of the attempted rapes that we've seen in broad daylight, as well as that story from about 6 to 8 months ago that I know we talked about here on Trending with Jim O'Day that absolutely infuriated so many of us. Nationally, the story of a woman who was raped on a subway and no one did anything about it. They literally stood there taking video as it happened. And so as we kind of live in a world that is okay with not defending others, and granted, in this Walmart story, people came to this woman's rescue, it does make us ask, you know, how do we protect ourselves? What are things that perhaps women in particular are not aware of that we could be better aware of to make sure we're not putting ourselves in danger? So simple tips, gentlemen, love to hear from you. The number is 1-888-914-9149. It's Gentleman's Hour. We're taking your questions. You can ask your question live now on Instagram as well. We put that question box up on my Instagram story, and I'd love to hear from you. So the story goes, this weekend in Miami at Walmart, a 28-year-old man, who, by the way, was out on parole, has since been charged with a sexual battery after an incident where he approached a woman from behind when she's shopping in the aisles at Walmart and attempted to rape her. I won't get into all of the details. She started yelling for help, and Thank God the rape was not complete. People came to her aid. One customer actually restrained the man until the police could come and apprehend him. But as I really follow and think about this story, I am in shock that, one, someone would do this in broad daylight in the middle of a store. Obviously, this person was not right in his head. I mean, any person who's willing to sexually assault or abuse another individual clearly has something wrong with them. But the fact that this is being done so pervasively in the middle of the day, in daylight, in public settings, it points to one thing in particular. Yes, you can say mental health, but that's not the thing that I think we should be pointing to. It's an issue where sexual abuse and pornography is so pervasive and normal in society today that it's become so normal that we're not protecting ourselves from those areas of temptation on a device where we say it's just a photo of another human being, not a big deal. You know, it's just me, myself, and I looking at it. We are not recognizing the long-term and permanent damage that this is actually doing to some people. And I always think of the classic story of the serial killer. Wasn't his name Ted Bundy? And literally multiple kidnappings, rapings, and murders back in the 1970s of young women and girls. Now, not many people know this, and especially those of the younger generation who maybe have never even heard the story and the name of Ted Bundy. They have no idea that indeed Ted Bundy, in the few days before his final he was already sentenced, but before he faced death row, and after having confessed to over 30 homicides in 7 states, and he confessed in 1974, these homicides took place between 1974 and 1978, all of this happening in the 70s, that just before he faced his ultimate execution, he actually came out in an interview with one gentleman who's now, I believe, with Focus on the Family. And what he shared in this interview, he's the one who initiated the interview. He asked for the interview. And guess what he said? He said that he came from a good home, intact marriage, good parents, Christian home. And his beginnings for serial murders, serial killings, all of this, the rape, that he one day was walking around and came across a book of pornography. And what that led to was eventually a pornography addiction. And it led him to dehumanize another human being to the point where he was not only just starting to try things out sexually that he was seeing, he became aggressive. He started to kidnap people. He started to become abusive and eventually started to kill people. This is a story of one of the most renowned American serial killers. A man who came from a good home with a good family and a faith. And his beginning started with, hey, just a little bit of pornography. What's the big deal? It's just me. And he shared in that interview, he wanted the world to know. This interview, this conversation, this is a very little known fact. Why do I bring it up? Because I believe this is the reason why we see people, for example, on a subway, not defending a woman who's being raped, but instead taking a video. I believe this is the reason why a man is so psychologically damaged that he's willing to attempt a rape of a woman in a Walmart in broad daylight in the middle of the day where there are a ton of people. This is the reality of what we're facing. And this actually will bring this full circle around to the whole conversation about Ketanji James Brown, who we are going to see potentially being confirmed to the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, this actually has to do with pornography. This has to do with abortion. This has to do with judicial incompetence. We'll talk about all of that surrounding the possibility of our new Supreme Court justice on the highest court. I find it so offensive that we're even considering her based on identity politics because she's a woman and because she's black. That's offensive to women. We'll talk about that more later on as we continue to walk through the hearings for her being our potentially next Supreme Court justice. But here's the deal. I'd like to hear from you. It's our weekly Gentleman's Hour today on Trending. And I think that it's important in the face of the sexually perverse culture that we live in, the permissiveness of pornography, the justification of not just looking at pornography, but the long-term damage of it, that some people, and I'm not saying everyone who looks at pornography does this, but eventually to the sexual abuse of children, women, adults. And sometimes you may say, okay, well, it's not sexual abuse, it's quote-unquote consensual, but there are a lot of things that young women and adult women do quote-unquote consensually because they desire commitment, relationship, love. And so there's a lot that's quote-unquote done consensually that is not acceptable, that pornography has led to the damaging effects on women and men. And so this is, I think, what this Walmart story is really about. It's about pornography. It's not just about the fact that humanity is so bad that we're seeing things like this happen. It's about the fact that there are addictions and, as a result, behavioral modifications that are occurring negatively as a result of that. So I want to hear from you, gentlemen. What can we do as women to stay safe and aware? You hear many tips, and we'll talk about some of those tips today on the show. But what can we do to stay alert and aware and to protect ourselves from any form of assault, thievery, sexual assault, abusive assault? What can we do to be aware and protect ourselves? I actually had a dear friend a couple years ago, and it's a silly, simple example, and it's unfortunate, and yeah, you can say that was a really dumb choice, but I had a friend a couple years ago, had just bought a brand new car. You know, she had grown up, you know, first-time car owner, young, in her early 20s, and she goes to the bank, and she thinks, oh, I'll just, you know, leave my keys in the car, and I'll leave my car running, and I'll just run out to the bank kiosk. I'll get the money, do what I need to do, and I'll be on my merry way. Well, all of a sudden, as she's sitting there or standing there at the bank kiosk doing her banking, someone comes up from behind her, standing next to her car, points to her car and says, hey, is this your car? And she says, yes. He then proceeds to jump in her car and start to back up and pull out of the parking lot. Now, she proceeds then to run after him before he shuts the door and start hitting him while he's in the car. He's dragging her in the car as she's dragging. Then she kind of realizes all of a sudden, oh, hey, this guy's stealing my car. He's driving. I probably shouldn't be in a physical altercation with him, and this is damaging and dangerous, so she lets go. Thankfully, she had that prudence. She eventually had the prudence. Much could be said of the whole situation. I know so many people harassed her. Why did you leave your car running? Why did you leave your keys in the car? Did you really think this was a smart idea? And why did you try to beat up on him when he's literally in a giant weapon of a car? Okay, a lot can be said to make fun of her, and it's a silly and it was a very stupid choice. But I think that this is one of those moments where we tend to think that we live in a very safe world. This idea that you can leave, you know, I grew up in the mountains and we left our doors unlocked, our cars unlocked. Whether we were home or not, it was never a big deal. I grew up in an area that there wasn't a concern of safety. But that's not necessarily the world we live in today. And you can't just assume you can leave your car running and run inside. You can't assume it's freezing cold outside. I can leave my car in the street, letting it warm up while I wait to get in so I don't freeze in the Midwest here. And we can't make those assumptions because safety is a concern. So my question is, what can we do to be safer, especially for women to be aware, whether it's at night, whether it's during the day, whether it's car safety? I'd like to hear from you, gentlemen. What are we missing? What can we think of to be smarter about how we conduct ourselves? The number is 1-888-914-9149. Please, I'd love to hear from you. You can go ahead and reach out as well on social media, specifically Instagram, to ask your question or leave a comment at Timmery. Just follow me there, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. We're going to come back taking your questions. It's Gentleman's Hour. Any question or comment goes. Again, we'd love to hear from you, and I'll share with you my thoughts on our potential new Supreme Court justice Will we see Ketanji Brown Jackson confirmed to the highest court of the United States? Ask your question now, 1-888-914-9149 or on Instagram at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmerie on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Okay, it's a gentleman's hour today on Trending, as is every Wednesday, and I would like tips from you, gentlemen. How can we as women keep ourselves safer and more alert to everything from physical abuse, thievery, or sexual abuse? Coming up, we're also going to discuss the Supreme Court of the United States confirmation hearings on Ketanji Brown Jackson. I'm praying that she will not be the one. I find her absolutely incompetent as a judge, as well as it ridiculous that she has been chosen due to identity politics. That's inadequate for the highest court in the United States, and it's offensive to women as well as children, given some of her past record on various rulings, which we'll walk through in just a little bit. But I'd like to hear from you, gentlemen. Any question goes, questions that you'd otherwise feel uncomfortable asking your mom or sisters that you have today. Number's 1-888-914-9149. But what are we missing as women? How can we keep ourselves safe in the rather dangerous culture we live in today? We talked about the connection to pornography. We're going to take your questions. But first, I want to invite you to join us on Friday as Father Rocky and Drew Mariani anchor our live coverage here on Relevant Radio of a historic day at the Vatican. Beginning at 11 a.m. Central, we'll bring you live coverage as Pope Francis leads a celebration of penance from St. Peter's Basilica. Then, at approximately 12:30 p.m. Central Time, you'll hear the Holy Father carry out the act of consecration of Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Video coverage will also be available on our digital media channels. Wherever you are on Friday, take a moment and join the Holy Father and bishops around the world in offering a prayer for peace. Put Relevant Radio on your calendar now so you can bring this important moment to your home as we see this historic moment in the church and in the world. You're listening to Trending with Timmerie here on Relevant Radio. Okay, it's tons of calls coming in on how we as women can be more alert and protect ourselves from physical and sexual abuse as well as thievery. So we have Bill on the line from Helena, Montana. Bill, what tips do you have for us women?
Hi, Timmerie. Well, first of all, it's, you know, we want to keep it simple. And simple in this case is situational awareness and precluding anything that happens. When it comes to situational awareness.
Just a little context, Bill, you were a sheriff for 10 years. So you're coming from that perspective. I think that it's really important.
Yes, I was. I was a deputy sheriff and police officer. Worked in the criminal justice system for a long time and still do. And so that's where my perspective comes from, in also giving training and in also dealing with, I hate to say it, sometimes victims of crimes. Mm-hmm. And many of them were ladies.
So what tips do you have advice, for us to be more aware?
What I used to tell folks was, first of all, keep it simple. You know, if you're out in public, or let's say leaving work at night, it's dim, it's dark, you're getting ready to walk to your car. First of all, take a moment before you, you know, head out the door. Have your keys ready. Just kind of check things out. Be aware of who's in the area. And if you're with a group of friends, maybe you've all parked together, that sort of thing. Go in a group. Look for anything unusual. That's important. If you have that little creepy feeling, that little still voice saying something's not right, go back to a place of safety or have your phone ready to call. To your story earlier with your friend, what I do personally, I've done all my life, is I have two sets of keys. If I'm going to warm up my car, I will use that set, and then lock the doors if they'll lock behind. That's just a kind of a little tip thing I do. Then I can use the second set to unlock the door. But mostly that's situational awareness. You know, if you're going someplace and you're parking at night, be aware of what's around you. Be prepared to call and be prepared to reach out for help. Many people don't, and I think it's because they don't want to inconvenience law enforcement. In my career, there were a handful of times when people called to be walked to their car, or something was going on as they were leaving work, coming and going. And when they called, I can speak from my experience that as a police officer, I would far rather go and be of assistance, walk someone to their car just as a preventative measure, so that A, something bad didn't happen, and B, it helped the citizen.
Fascinating. So are you saying that first responders, let's say you're working alone and you're closing up at the restaurant, you're by yourself, you're one of the last people, you're the last person to leave, you feel uncomfortable, there's a situation, if you were to call and ask for a police escort to your car, that's something that would be done by a first responder?
In my experience, absolutely, always.
Fantastic. That's very good to know. These are excellent tips coming from man with over 10 years of experience as a deputy sheriff, as well as the legal system, working with victims and preventing people from being victims. Bill, thank you for your advice for us women to be more aware and tools at our hands, from having a second set of keys to warm up your car and still lock your car and take the second set with you to unlock it when you're ready to get in, to knowing that you can always call 911 and call dispatch for help, for escort, or whatever you might need. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. My question today, during our weekly Gentleman's Hour, is to you, gentlemen: what can we do as women to be better aware situationally and to keep ourselves safe in the face of various stories we're hearing, from the attempted rape that occurred this week in Florida of a woman who, in the middle of the day, was shopping at Walmart? I think a lot of people hear this story and they think, that could have been me, that could have been my daughter. And so what can we do to be more alert in at a time where I don't think we are very alert? Calling now is Richard from Carmichael, California. I don't think I've heard of that area. Richard, welcome to Trending. What tips do you have for safety for us women?
Carmichael, California. About yes. being a more aware of your surroundings and what's going on. Mm. I used to teach self-defense class for women, and I would tell women to walk with their keys in their hands, with the keys sticking out from the knuckles, to use it as a tool to scratch somebody if you needed to, you know, just for protection. But it's really about being totally aware of what's going on. It's amazing. I work in a pretty affluent area, and to me, I could be walking across the parking lot and there is somebody on their phone that's walking towards me, totally unaware of who I am. And you know, that's just a dangerous spot to be in. So to me, being totally aware, you know, is paramount. Just be aware of what's going on around you.
Self-awareness is so important. And actually, we're going to share some tips in just a little bit for what you can do, gentlemen, to not freak us women out. I will fully admit I'm a scaredy cat when it comes to traveling by myself alone at night, or even a slightly sketch neighborhood. I think I totally get like the tremors. I'll be so nervous. I jump in my car and I probably slam my purse in the car or something because I'm so nervous. And just, you know, I get startled very easily. And I will say, with the masks that people wear from COVID, I'm extra nervous. In fact, when we had that guy follow us, I shared with you earlier, my sisters and my babies, this man was following us just in, you know, a basic shopping center after getting lunch. And before we sat down to eat, there was a man who came walking up. He had a big black hat on. He had a full facial covering black mask wrapped around his face. You could barely even see his eyes. He had black gloves on. And my first instinct was danger. This is dangerous. You need to be aware. Something needs to be done. And then as I look closer, about to kind of, you know, potentially sound the alarm or do something defensive, because he's coming right up behind me, you know, you have that moment of, okay, things are happening. It's COVID. And, oh, we're right by the restaurant. I think this was a guy that obviously, at second glance, worked inside the restaurant there. But I think that this is challenging in light of COVID, that many people who could be dangerous are cloaked under the veil of so-called COVID restrictions and masking. And so I think this is a reminder for us to be extra alert after having seen so many people for so long with masks, and where we can't necessarily read body language and facial expressions in the same way. Okay, more people are calling in with tips on how we can be safer as women. We have Sean from San Diego calling. He's a martial arts instructor, and he has tips for how perhaps we as women aren't quite aware of our surroundings to help prevent any unsafe situations. Sean, what's your advice as a martial arts instructor today?
So nothing that hasn't been said already, basically, by the previous two callers, Bill, and I missed the other guy's name, but situational awareness is huge. I've taught martial arts for years. And not some of the big ones you would think, karate, things like that. I do a lot of what we call battlefield martial arts. So the goal wasn't so much on self-defense, but as preventing the situations to begin with or getting yourself out quickly. And something you see a ton of now is people are just, like the previous caller said, so observant on their phone. I'm sitting in a parking lot on my car, and there's a lady who just walked up to her car right next to me, completely absorbed in her phone. She probably has no idea I'm sitting here. So that's a huge one, is just being aware and being safe. You know, if you're going to be out alone at night, take a flashlight, and ideally don't be alone at night. I think those are just, that's the biggest thing, is just avoid it by scanning, trying to be somewhat aware. You don't have to be paranoid, but, you know, don't be oblivious to what's going on around you all the time.
Okay, I have a question. This is one of my go-tos when I'm afraid or I'm going somewhere alone at night. And if you're here listening, Sean, I want to hear from you and other people. Is this a false security blanket, or do you think this is something that actually helps? The number is 1-888-914-9149. You can also answer it now on Instagram as well. Follow me at Timmerie. That's TimmerIe. Sean, I will often resort to picking up the phone and calling someone. It makes me feel more safe. As I mentioned, I'm a nervous Nancy when it comes to being anywhere alone at night or in a sketchy area. My thought is, at least someone knows where I am, or at least, you know, someone sees I'm not alone in respect. You know, I'm on the phone, I'm watching at the same time. And, you know, to them, they might think that I'm not as aware, but I'm doing it as a precaution that in the event someone were considering anything, they know that that isolation isn't as significant as they thought it might have been. Do you think that that's a false security blanket, or do you think that's helpful? I'd love to hear from you, Sean. What are your thoughts?
No, I think that's absolutely not a false security blanket. That's huge. So guys who are gonna be predators, who are gonna try and steal something or hurt someone, they look for the easy target. You know, they look for someone who is unaware, who's alone. You know, if you've got your phone on you and you're actually talking to someone, that reduces your chance exponentially of being a victim. You know, I'm a guy and I'm pretty competent, I like to think, in defense situations, and I'm always armed. But still, if I'm going somewhere at night and alone, my wife knows where I am. I text her where I'm going to be, where I'm going to be there, or I'll call her, or I'll call my dad or someone, so that when I show up, that if I'm interacting with someone, or, you know, if anyone's around the area, they can see that if something happens to me, someone else is going to know. I think
Excellent.
That's huge.
You know, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I think sometimes men as well can be a little cocky and assuming that they're safe in various situations. I actually just had, my husband was meeting up with someone. It ended up turning into a late night meetup. You know, you have these various exchanges. You as getting rid of our couch. And I thought, okay, big couch, alone at night, money being exchanged. This is grounds for a potentially dangerous situation. And coincidentally, the guy who was picking up the couch was late. And I wasn't hearing from my husband, and I was so worried. It was one of those moments where we're reminded we should make sure if we're in a remote area or somewhere alone at night, that whether you're a man or a woman, we should have that situational awareness or foresight to make sure other people know what our timing should be and where we're at. Thanks so much for the tips for so many of us women who need to be more situationally aware, especially when we're so addicted to our phones. And as Sean just mentioned, we don't necessarily look up. We're not paying attention. I mean, I remember years ago when I was really bad about walking and being on my phone. You know, I bumped into things. I've seen people fall into water fountains because they were on their phone not paying attention. I've seen people walk into the middle of the street because they were on their phone not paying attention. I've walked into people. Other people have walked into me. The reality is our situational awareness has significantly decreased. I think that that's one of my questions that I had as I was listening to the story of what happened at the Walmart in Florida, where this woman was assaulted and attempted rape occurred in broad daylight. Clearly, there's something wrong with this man that he's even willing to do that. I mentioned the pornography connection, but it did stand out to me that perhaps she wasn't paying attention, because he, I think, got further than he should have been able to, given how public the situation was. Now, grant, she was not raped in the end, that, you know, people were able to come to her aid, but I think it should have occurred, intervention should have occurred sooner, and it makes me wonder, you know, was she on her phone? Was she not paying attention, or was she just in shock that she wasn't able to cry for help sooner? You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray, tips for women on what to do to stay more alert and safe. Jose from Phoenix is on the line, as well as Carlton from Belgrade, Montana. Carlton, what advice do you have for us women to stay safer? Oh, we lost Carlton. We're going to Jose from Phoenix. Jose, what are your tips for us to be more aware and safe?
Hi, Timmy. I'm not going to beat a dead horse here. I feel like a lot of the callers before me really nailed it. Situational awareness is the biggest friend, and this isn't just for women. This is for men as well. So I'm not really going to go too far into that. I think the callers ahead of me did a really good job explaining that. But in my experience, I've lived in Mexico before, and I actually lived in a time period in Mexico where it was very violent. So I did get some safety training, and one of the most helpful tips around safety training is letting you categorize the situation that you have by a color. And it's only four colors that you use. You use white, yellow, orange, and red. And each of those educates how much of a threat level you're at. Obviously, white being no threat, red being the biggest threat. And let that kind of be your guideline to how situationally aware you need to be. So, for example, let's say you were alone at night, but it was in your neighborhood and you were just parking your car in your driveway. Well, maybe that's a yellow, right? But if you were alone at night parking your car in a neighborhood you don't know, that's definitely like an orange or a red. So basically let those four colors kind of indicate where the threat level, so to speak, exists. And from there you can act different ways. So if you're at a grocery store that you're not familiar with, in an area that you might think is not the best area, maybe take a couple trips around the parking lot so that if there is somebody following you to your car, you're able to see if that's happening. What else? If you're in a, for example, in this Walmart story that you presented to us, if you're in a Walmart, maybe that's in your neighborhood, it's still a yellow because you're not at home with the doors locked. So essentially there's still some level of threat to you. Maybe pay attention to who you've seen at the grocery store. Are they following you in the same aisle? So that's really the tip I have.
Yeah, and I think you gave a really great example. Are you aware enough to notice if someone is even following you? Because I will fully admit, I was with my sisters. We were chasing the babies around. We were in a very safe area. And it wasn't me. It wasn't my mom. It wasn't one of my sisters who noticed. It was my youngest sister who realized, hey, this guy's been following us around. Let's make sure everyone gets safely into their cars. And, you know, it was just kind of a slap in the face reminder. She shouldn't have been the only one in our entire group to notice him. I didn't even notice him. I didn't know what he looked like. I couldn't have even told you that he was following us. None of those things. So situational awareness is so important. And also making sure that you don't let your guard down necessarily, given what you perceive as a safe situation. Okay, so many tips for us women to be safe. This one has to do with weapons, which I think is interesting because one of the tips that many people give are make sure that you have pepper spray. You know, my husband just bought me new pepper spray after this latest story came out. And coming out of Florida, and I'm terrible with my pepper spray. I'll have it, but you know, sometimes it's looked at as an inconvenience. I don't carry a keychain on me, so it's not on my keychain. It has to be tucked into my pocket or somewhere convenient. But the reality is we should be aware. I know so many people who carry everything from a taser to many women today who conceal carry when it's unfortunate. I am of the opinion we should never have to be at that point where women feel that they have to conceal carry. But I fully understand and respect that many women are today because of many safety concerns. So Jose from Phoenix is bringing up weapons. Jose, what are your thoughts on weapons? Oh, we lost Jose, but one of his comments, he said a lot of people resort to carrying a weapon to stay safe, and he claims that's asking for trouble. He said, you're never really safe until you get in your house and are locked in, and you do it quickly. And I think that these are really important things to remember, that, you know, simple things are important. And it's funny because one woman actually called and she said, hey, just get in your car quickly and quickly lock the door. This is the simplest tip, but I will give it because I think it's important. No matter what car you are in, whether you're borrowing a car, you're in a brand new car, or your car you've had forever, make sure you know automatically where that lock button is on your car. I think that in my opinion, and again, it's one of those moments for me that I think is a safety blanket, I want to make sure that I, out of instinct, am jumping in my car and hitting lock. I think the other thing that kind of makes me nervous today is a lot of the cars with the automatic unlock option can sometimes be dangerous. You know, you go up to one of your doors, you don't need your keys, and it automatically, depending on which door you go to, it unlocks all the doors in the car. But perhaps maybe you just go up to the driver's door and it only unlocks that door. This is why car alarms yelling for help are always important. While it is important to get into a place and be safely locked in, it's also important that we are raising the alarm and not just assuming that we can protect ourselves. And so I mentioned earlier, my number one security blanket is calling someone on the phone. And many people have said that this decreases the likelihood of someone trying to attack you because you were known, you were loved, people know where you're at, but you're not using the phone just as a security blanket, but also you're aware at the same time so that they don't think you are going to be able to be caught unaware. Okay, some basic tips. I know so many of you are calling in. Gentlemen, I'm so appreciative that you are giving sound advice for us women to see and notice things that perhaps we're not aware of. Big thing, simple, don't gas up at night, ladies. It's just not a great idea. Don't go to the bank alone in an area in general that isn't absolutely, you know, you have a lot of trust in the safety. Drive-up banking is always way better than walking up to the kiosk. And, you know, don't stop places alone at night. I remember one time I stupidly put myself in the position to have to get gas at a location that was so unsafe. I grew up in the mountains, and at the very bottom of the mountains, there's a gas station. And on my way down, I was so low on gas, I wasn't going to make it to a safer area further out, and I had to go and get gas late at night. I knew it wasn't a safe place. I had spent years avoiding having to go to that particular gas station because I knew it was dangerous. Sure enough, the one night I go, because I didn't put myself in a safe situation, I didn't have foresight, of course, a homeless individual approaches me, and no one, by the way, was answering the phone when I was trying to find someone to pick up the phone at that moment while I was gassing up quickly. And I just talked to them and tried to de-escalate the situation. So many people have said that if you're in a situation, you can't really wiggle your way out of it. Humanize the situation. As they are trying to dehumanize you, humanize them, talk to them, be loud, you know, and of course, try to get out of the situation as quickly as possible. But so often, I know my mom's done this, she'll both talk to people to de-escalate, but sometimes even yell at them right away. Even if you don't automatically know that there is a danger, sometimes just yelling at and startling people scares people away. And again, be aware of our phone use. I think this is so important. And don't be afraid to ask for an escort. I've traveled alone by myself. I've been places late alone at night where I know people well enough that even if you don't know them the greatest and you feel awkward, don't be afraid to be that security cat who says, hey, can you escort me to the car? So many men are willing and able. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray during our weekly Gentleman's Hour. I'll be right back. Who will be our next Supreme Court justice? What are my thoughts? I'll be back to share them with you.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The reality is that we need to talk about the Supreme Court of the United States of this great nation, America. Ketanji Brown Jackson may be our next Supreme Court justice. Why is this problematic? I think she's absolutely incompetent, and this is an inadequate choice for the highest court in the United States, and it's offensive to women and children. Why? I'll share that with you in just a moment. But first, we have been talking about self-defense, protection, situational awareness. It's our weekly Gentleman's Hour today on Trending, and you gentlemen have been sharing so many tips of how we can be more aware and safe, especially in light of the story coming out of Florida of the woman where an attempted rape occurred in the middle of the day in Walmart. I know many of you are probably thinking that could have been me, that could have been my sister, my daughter, my wife. So we've been gathering many tips, and I hope that you will share this episode with a friend because we need to be aware. All of us have had uncomfortable and unsafe situations. Some of us, like me, might be an absolute scaredy cat in any remote or nighttime situation. I think that's a good thing, but how can we practically keep ourselves safe? Well, so many tips have been given, and many more people are on the line, but I want to share some of those tips because we can't get to all of them. John from Pasadena, California, said that he feels it's been a one-dimensional topic. And as a person of faith, he says he calls upon angelic help in those types of situations. And this approach that we have sounds fear-based. I think that we always have to pray for safety. And I have been in very unsafe situations where I have prayed and had confidence my guardian angel is going to protect me. Also prayed my act of contrition that in the event that it's my time to go, Lord, you know, your will be done. I think that that's very important, but I have had situations where they've been unavoidable. And I have had confidence in some of those moments when I've made sure, okay, Lord, I'm here, I'm in this situation, I can't change anything about it, I'm supposed to be here right now, whether out of my fault or because you've allowed me to be here at this moment, please come Holy Spirit, protect me, guardian angel, protect me, preserve me. And there has been a great sense of peace that has occurred time and time again. I've shared situations, I think, here on Trending where I've been sidewalk counseling in the streets of LA and I found myself alone on a street corner with a man who has had a gun. You know, there have been many situations where they have not been safe, but with prayer and also practical safety, I think it's important. So I think it's two-sided. We need to trust and pray for angelic and divine intervention, knowing God will protect us, but not go blindly into situations. We are both body and soul, and we can't just default only to one side or the other, because the reality is God gave us a body and a soul. Okay, other advice. I think this is a really important one. Margaret May from Oakland, Maine. A quick thought, we have just a moment. Margaret, you're a military police veteran. What advice do you have for us women?
Okay, I'll make it real quick for you. One, wear a good solid pair of boots that make a lot of noise because that can intimidate people. Two, if someone approaches you and you don't feel safe, stop. Face them, and then if they look like they're going to continue to come towards you, basically say, what are you doing, in as loud a voice as you can to draw attention. 3, a flashlight, especially if it has a strobe feature. You can blind them momentarily to get away. And the last one is, if they come near you, make a fish hook with your index finger, insert it in the clavicle, which is that little space underneath the Adam's apple. Pull down. You will take them down with one finger.
Mary May, you are an absolute boss. This has been some fantastic advice. I highly appreciate it. Military police veteran. I'm just going to summarize that because that advice was so good. And if you aren't taking notes, I'm going to go buy myself a little flashlight with a blinker to make sure that you can, you know, give that strobe. But I think that finger in the clavicle, not something I think most people would expect. You know, people talk all the time about going for the eyes, but again, hooking your index finger on the clavicle, excellent advice. Again, turning, facing them, confronting them, and saying, what are you doing? Again, this, my mom has done this many times where she just confronts it head on, and it has de-escalated so many situations. Claudia from Minneapolis is calling. She said, we need to be training our children at a younger age about this safety, especially with being on their phone. She said, start them young. She started hers at 10 and 11 years old. So many tips and advice, from having your button on your car alarm, having your keys attached to you in a position to use as a weapon. All of these are excellent, excellent, I think, pieces of help that we need to be prepared to approach and keep ourselves safe, but confront situations we may find ourselves in a culture that has so dehumanized men and women to the point where we're seeing stories like what happened in Florida, among others, even your own, that you may have experienced in unsafe situations. Gentlemen, ladies, especially gentlemen, thank you so much for stepping up and providing advice, tips, and situational awareness. I have a lot to say about potentially our new Supreme Court Justice of the United States. Maria from Chicago says she agrees with me. So here's the deal. I've been teasing it out, and we might have to carry on this conversation tomorrow. But here's the reality. Ketanji Brown Jackson, I pray, and I hope you are praying as well, should not be our next Supreme Court Justice. This should not be a political move. The reality is, she is judicially incompetent, and this is outright identity politics. They're choosing her because she's a woman and Black, and that is offensive to women, and that is offensive to Black people. And I think that it's very important that we say that. A quick rundown of what's happening so far in the confirmation hearings, and I'll break down a little bit more of this tomorrow, but you notice Ketanji Brown Jackson really isn't saying a ton during these hearings. That's a really smart move on her side. The hearings, essentially, we know that it's going to be a Democrat nominee. We know that it's appointed by President Biden. The person will be pro-abortion. The person will be Democrat. So the hearings really don't change a lot other than creating public awareness about her. Now, Grant, hopefully we can always pray that our Democrat senators will, you know, acknowledge the fact that this woman is judicially incompetent, and I'll touch on that in a moment. But the reality is that she is saying very little, because if she says too much, that will fuel the opposition to her. So they're really trying to slide her by. Those people who are commenting on her or asking her questions, at least on the Democrat side, are really just trying to make speeches to win brownie points for themselves. And she's avoiding most of the Republican questions that have to do with important issues. Now, she's been very clear in the confirmation hearing that she fully believes that Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion in the United States through all 9 months of women's pregnancy, along with the Supreme Court case from 1992, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, she believes that both of these are precedent-setting cases. That is, that it sets a precedent. They cannot be reversed. We've talked a lot about this here on Trending. And so what she's saying is the line is drawn in the sand. I do not believe they are reversible, nor that they should be reversed. So she's holding to a very firm pro-abortion position just by drawing this line in the sand, because as we know, legally, academically, and medically, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, as well as Roe versus Wade, are very weak cases. And that is why the pro-abortion movement universally believes and is afraid but believes that Roe versus Wade will be overturned at the end of this spring by the Supreme Court of the United States. Tomorrow, I'll share with you more about what I think about Ketanji Brown Jackson, why it is an absolute embarrassment and offensive to women and children that she is being put on the Supreme Court. So please join me tomorrow during our weekly marriage hour. We'll be joined by a family physician and psychologist to talk about gender that is so important in the culture we face of marriage. What does a family physician as well as a psychologist have to say about male-female differences in the culture we live in? Well, this is Timmy from Trending with Timmy. Dr. Sachs will join me, highly educated psychologist as well as a family physician, and he's joining me for our weekly marriage hour. We'll talk about male-female differences and the attack on gender and how this is impacting men, women, as well as children. So join me Thursday for our weekly marriage hour, 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.